Today, Be'ez Hashem, we're continuing in the third parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah and also beginning the fourth parak. Today, we are learning Parak Gimel, Mishnah Ches, and Parak Dalid, Mishnah Alephs. So, in Parak Gimel, Mishnah Ches, we just got through talking about Mitzvah Srichs Kavanah and Mishnah Zayin, that if you happen to overhear Tkiya Shofar by walking behind the shul, so Kivin Libo Yatza, but if not Kivin Libo Lo Yatza, so we're going to tell us about, the Mishnah is going to tell us about two episodes that happened in history where Kavanah was very important. The Torah talks about when we were fighting Melchemes Amalek, that when Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hand, that's when the Jewish people became stronger in battle, and they were able to overcome the enemy. So raising his hand means he was davening, so he lifted his hands up in tefillah. So as he did that, the Jewish people overpowered Amalek. When he lowered his hands, then Amalek overpowered the Jewish people. So the Mishnah wonders, V'chiyadav shel Moshe do the hands of Moshe actually make or break the war? That doesn't make any sense, that Moshe's hands going up and down are going to determine the fate of the Jewish people in their battle. No, it's trying to tell you that whenever we look up toward Hashem and we daven and we totally subjugate our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when we're successful. But when we don't do that, that's when we fail in war. So Moshe raised his hands up. That's a signal that everyone should daven, that everyone should look up heavenward to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's when we were successful. Another pasuk that can be explained similarly is as we neared the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, we complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Moshe for taking us out of Mitzrayim and that we had the man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent snakes to attack. And then we admitted that we made a mistake, that we did an Aveira. And we asked Moshe Rabbeinu to daven for us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Kiyotzi b'davar ata omer, Aseh lecha sorav, v'simo so al neis, v'yakol anashuch, v'ra'o oso v'chai. That you should make a fiery snake and put it on a pole, and it will. And anyone who is bitten by the snake will look at this fiery snake that's on a pole, and they will then live. V'chi nachash meimis o nachash mechaya? Does it make sense that looking at an image of a snake on a pole is going to determine whether you live or die? But the point is that when they would look upwards, so they were looking toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were subjugating their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what got them the refuah. And otherwise, they would fall apart from the snake bite, and they would continue to disintegrate. So it was the snake wasn't the refuah. It was the snake caused the motivation to look heavenward, and therefore daven. So now the Mishnah leaves Agada and goes back to Halacha. So he said when you're blowing a shofar, other people can fulfill the mitzvah by listening to the shofar. So we see that it's possible for one person to do a mitzvah on behalf of other people. However, that requires that the person doing the mitzvah, the person doing the ma'isa mitzvah be a bar chiyuva. Cheresh, if the person doing the mitzvah is a deaf person, deaf almost always in Shas means a deaf mute. However, when it comes to blowing shofar and reading the Megillah, it means even if the person is just deaf, that they're not able to hear, because these mitzvos of shofar and Megillah depend on one's ability to hear. Shota, a deranged person, a person who sleeps in the cemetery at night and does those kinds of crazy things, the katan, or a child who does not yet have developed das, ein motzi nisra midechavasan, can't be motzi other people in their chiv, because they're not chayiv in the mitzvah themselves, and only someone who's chayiv in the mitzvah could be motzi others. And that's the rule. Kol sheinu mechuyav b'davar, einu motzi asaran midei chavasan. Anyone in themselves is not chayiv in something, cannot be motzi other people in a chiyuv. Okay, but now we begin Parak Dalid Mishnah Aleph. So the Mishnah talks about how the mitzvah of shofar is done when Rosh Hashanah is chal on Shabbos. Yom tov shor Rosh Hashanah shchal yis b'Shabbos. When Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, b'mikdash sheyitokim avlo b'medina. They will blow the shofar in the base of Mikdash, but not b'medina, not outside of the base of Mikdash. Even though the Chum said you're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos because they're worried that you might carry Dalet Amos and Rosh Hashanah, that didn't apply in the Mikdash. In general, Ein Shavus B'Mikdash. Most Isurim D'Rabbanan did not apply in the Mikdash. Mishachar of Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so there was no blowing shofar in the Mikdash anymore. Hiskin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so you're talking about Kalmakom Shiesh Bo Beis Din. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a number of takanos that were a Zecher the Mikdash, and one of those takanos is that you're going to blow shofar wherever there is a Beis Din. Instead of just saying, okay, so we're never going to blow shofar on Shabbos anymore, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai wanted to make sure that shofar would still be blown somewhere on Shabbos as a way to remember how things were done in the Beis HaMikdash. So he said, anywhere that there's a Beis Din, you can blow shofar. It has to be dafka in the presence of a Beis Din, because then they would see to it, they would make sure that no one carries Dalet Amos and Rosh Hashanah, so it would still satisfy the concern that the Chachamim had. Amar Rabbi Lazar, lo hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai el biyavna bilvad. Rabbi Lazar says, no, you got it wrong. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai did not make a takana that they could blow shofar anywhere that there is a Beis Din. He made a takana specifically in Yavne, that the Sanhedrin HaGadol sat in Yavne, so that's where you could blow shofar, but not in front of any random Beis Din. Amar lo, the Chacham said back to Rabbi Lazar, echad Yavne, v'echad kol makam sheish b'Beis Din. Not true. It could be Yavne, or it could be anywhere that has a Beis Din. Now, this sounds very much like the Tanakhama, so the Bartunur explains that, no, there's a difference between the Amrulo, the Chachamim over here, and the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama allows the shofar to be blown even in front of just a temporary Beis Din, any three guys that get together and become a Beis Din, whereas over here, the Amrulo hold that you need a Beis Din Kavua, so there are really three shitos in terms of what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was Masakein. First shita is in front of any Beis Din, you can blow shofar on Shabbos. Second shita is only in front of the Beis Din HaGadol in Yavne. And third shita is any Beis Din Kavua, but not a Beis Din She'ena Kavua. So let's review what we learned today. In Perek Gimel Mishnah Ches, we learned of two instances where looking toward Shemayim is what caused success, and not looking toward Shemayim is what caused failure. Number one, in the Melchemes HaMalek, where Moshe Rabbeinu lifted his hands, so we looked up to Shemayim and we were Meshavid Libam Lavim Shemayim, so we were successful in the war with Amalek. And number two is when Moshe Rabbeinu put a saraf on a stick and we had to look up toward that fiery serpent in order to achieve a sense of refuah. And then in Mishnah Ches we said that when you have someone who's not mechuyav b'davar, like a cheresh shotev katan, they cannot be motzi other people in the mitzvah of shofar. And then Perek Dal in Mishnah Aleph we learned that when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, they used to blow shofar in the Mikdash, but not outside of the Beis Hamikdash. After the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that there are still some places that you could blow shofar on Shabbos, but it's a three-way machlokas what the nature of that takana was. Tanakama holds anywhere that there's any sort of Beis Din. Then Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's only the Beis Din HaGadol in Yavne, and the Amrulo, the Chachamim, say that it's anywhere that has a Beis Din Kavua, but if it's not a Beis Din Kavua, then they were not allowed to blow shofar. Bez Hashem, tomorrow, we'll pick up with Perek Dal in Mishnah Beis.